It's the Rule of Threes podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
And I'm Casey Lawrence.
Today is Thursday, September 6th, 2018, in case you're listening.
The hot season for NBA basketball, in case you didn't know.
Oh, so much news coming through.
I don't know if you guys heard, but I believe it's Chris Hayes signed with a new team.
Chris Hayes, the NBC investigative news reporter?
No, it's not Chris Hayes. What's the guy's name? Chris Evans is the... No, Chris Evans is
Chris Evans Captain America. Is Captain America.
A lot of Chris's out here. The fun thing that happened on Twitter this week was that a media signing was announced by a basketball player.
Uh-huh.
And Damian Lillard had the hot scoop that a reporter was switching from ESPN to Yahoo.
Ooh.
And I feel like it was Chris Hayes, but Chris Hayes...
Isn't Chris Hayes the guy that subs for Rachel Maddow occasionally?
I mean, you got me on that one, but I do not all
you're,
in with Chris
you're
Hayes.
You're strict InfoWars only.
No, jeez.
InfoWars only.
Oh, boy. Nothing makes me madder than seeing an InfoWars bumper sticker.
Oh, I haven't seen those. You know what makes me madder?
What?
Is seeing fucking Alex Jones at the Senate.
Yeah.
With a full beard.
Ooh.
Looking very hot.
Oh no, I didn't know we were gonna get here.
I know.
Oh, that's
we're
that's
back already. He came up yesterday because he bullied Marco Rubio in on the Senate floor, and I was like, come on, Alex.
Yes. So this is so funny because I completely, like, based on all the other guys that you've told me that you think are hot, he fits right in there.
Yeah.
And it's
so it makes sense.
It makes total sense, but I never thought about it because I just see Alex Jones.
I mean, he's a reprehensible human being, but you know, I mean, I think I've said this before. It reaches all the way to big country,
yeah,
from the Vancouver. For
yes,
Italy.
Yeah.
Big personal news. You are now looking at the owner of 4 sets of Lakers tickets.
Ooh,
for the upcoming season.
Look at you! Congratulations.
So, as you all know, I was not able to get season tickets this year because I was too poor to purchase them last year when it would have been very easy.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I probably won't get season tickets for, I would say, minimum 3 years.
Yeah.
Or how long is LeBron's contract?
4 years.
So for 4 years, I'm not going to be able to get season
truthfully,
tickets.
Truthfully, 8 years.
Yeah.
But you got some tickets.
So then what they do is, so actually today was the American Express card holder sale.
Ooh.
And I got an American Express card like 2 years ago, literally only for this kind of thing. Like for this and to, like, you, I think I was trying to get Hamilton tickets.
Yeah. The two things that you need for your specific life,
well,
Hamilton and Lakers basketball.
I don't love it ethically. I don't love the separation of certain people get access. This is a kind of privileged, you know, this is what people fear when they talk about, you know, net neutrality.
Yeah. You know? And here's the thing. We do have to worry about net neutrality in basketball because there are nets.
Mm-hmm. The Brooklyn Nets.
Yes.
So today was American Express cardholder sale. Tuesday is the season ticket waiting list single game sale.
Okay.
So Tuesday at like noon, I can get access to the rest of the season.
Got it.
Today, I had access to 6 games, which almost all instantly sold out.
Yeah.
So, and they picked a doozy of a 6-game series that you could have access to.
Okay. All right. Let me guess.
Okay.
Cleveland.
No.
Oh, okay. Minnesota.
No. Are you picking like... Pick the games that people would be like, oh my god, I gotta go see that one.
Oh, when you say doozy.
Oh, I meant doozy in a positive. No,
oh,
I meant positive.
Okay, then Warriors.
Yes, 2 Warriors games.
Wow. Okay,
the two home games against the Warriors were on this sale.
Okay,
so I got tickets to one of them.
Wow. Okay,
Warriors. The other one instantly sold out.
Yeah, of course. Okay, so Warriors. Celtics.
Celtics.
Yeah.
I got 2 because Eric's family's from the Boston area, so we're gonna go see the Celtics.
Very nice. And then, okay, Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
The other East team you'd want to see him play against.
Oh, besides Cleveland.
Like a good team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to go with Philadelphia.
That's right.
Yeah.
And
then there's one more team, and it's Houston.
Yep.
Wow.
You called it.
Wow.
Like, the 6, like... holy shit, these are the like serious teams you want to see him play against.
Yeah, I mean, I was fully expecting a sarcastic doozy, and you hit me with the incredibly real and sincere doozy, which that's new territory.
That's a nuclear lineup of games. But also, I will say, all of the, you know, like when you, LeBron's on the team, so you expect like all the scalping prices are going to go up. Not only that, all the face values go up.
Oh,
Because the NBA definitely does like dynamic pricing when it comes to
100%.
So the tickets that we like had last year to a couple of games, like who do we see? We saw the Celtics. But like I had Nuggets tickets at one point last year, and those in the same section were like $39.
Yeah, a reasonable and amount of money.
Clippers equivalent would have been like 11 or 17 or something.
Yes.
Those tickets this year are $100
for upper level
for the 300 sections. So,
LeBron, you are bleeding Los Angeles.
Yeah. So they start at 100, and once you go down one section, they go up to 150.
Okay.
So I was actually kind of happy I couldn't buy some of the second Warriors tickets, because that one, they only had tier two tickets available, which were $600 each.
That's so much money.
Now I will say, I also just had a spark of insight, and I went and bought a Clippers versus Lakers game, home game for the Clippers.
Yeah.
And that was, the 300 section started at $44.
Great.
So I got, I think, two of those, but then I thought, like, so now I'll get to see what Casey's been talking about, the Clippers home game experience.
Oh, it's misery beyond your wildest dreams. It's just so funny compared to the Lakers, who put on just a very intense and good basketball game, and the Clippers are a very not intense and dumb sideshow.
I may have asked you this, but do the Clippers not do the dimming of the lights?
They don't dim the lights.
So it's like, oh, interesting.
It's like the house lights are on at a play.
Interesting.
And you're watching every single pour. And
you keep reading Louis your program.
Yes. I mean, just everything about the in-arena experience is amateurish and awful. Mm. So,
but
this year,
it will have LeBron.
Yes, that game that you're
going to. That one game I'm going to will have LeBron in it.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's my personal news. Just guys, I'm going to update you on tickets every time I'll tell you what I end up getting next week in the single game.
Yeah.
Because I feel like maybe I can go in there and poach some, like, you know, Lakers versus Phoenix?
Phoenix is a team that people will probably want to see because...
Well, the trick is...
You got the Booker and Ayton combo.
If I want to see no defense being played at all...
Well, you know, you got Trevor Ariza out there now.
Zero
and D.
So the thing to think about is, what are the teams that are like, that no one wants to see, that can come cheap,
yeah,
but that actually are interesting to watch?
Here's my vote.
Okay.
Charlotte.
Oh.
All right. Go see a Charlotte Lakers game.
Okay.
And the reason for this is, all right, you got the Michael Jordan angle. Mm-hmm. All right. Michael Jordan.
You never know when he's going to jump in the game.
Michael Jordan versus LeBron is a historical thing.
Uh-huh.
Right. And, you know, to kind of have that subtext hanging over the game is something that, you know, the players aren't going to think about, the coaches aren't going to think about, nobody's going to think about. But if you put it in your mind, it'll make the game very interesting. Kemba Walker's good.
Walker.
You get to see Tony Parker roll his walker out there.
Tony Parker and his rolling walker.
Truly.
What about Hawks? If I want to see Trae Young.
I mean, I would wait to buy a Hawks ticket just because if you want to see the Hawks, just pay $10 to see them against the Clippers.
Yeah.
Because nobody's going to go to that game.
Yeah, like that Clippers-Hawks game. That's one that I... Like,
the Lou William revenge game?
That's the one that I want to see how cheap the courtside are.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right.
Because is courtside like 500, you think?
You could probably get a Clippers courtside ticket for less than $1,000.
Okay, I'll consider it.
I found some five rows back on Easter.
Ooh.
Last year.
Against?
Pacers.
Okay.
And we paid $75 a ticket.
What?
Yeah, we got to stare at Steve Ballmer's head
for the entire game. But you saw Depot.
Oh, I saw Depot, and he shut the crowd down. He scored a ton of points, and he made the miss it for chicken guy very sad because he did not miss it for chicken. you're aware of miss it for chicken as a cultural
phenomenon.
I've told you about this.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Oh, I have video of the entire Staples Center crowd, all 6,000 of them, just deflating after he made a free throw because they wouldn't get their fucking free Chick-fil-A. Newsflash, don't go to Chick-fil-A. Also, you know,
pay for your own meals.
Okay, now I'm not gonna go that.
Yeah, because then you get what's the taco situation?
Tacos. That's my DJ Banga.
Is it win and hold them under 100 still?
I don't know what the tacos are. I don't think there are tacos at Lakers games anymore. If I recall.
So I will be fascinated near the end of next year because there's a very good chance the Lakers will make the playoffs next year. So that I've never been. Yeah, I haven't been on this waiting list in a time where playoffs were a real possibility, so I don't know how that will work. Yeah. Will I get a chance to buy some playoff tickets?
I don't know.
I'm sure that goes all to the season ticket holders first, but I'm sure a fair number of them decline to purchase.
Yeah, yeah, so probably.
That'd be cool. Related to that, LeBron was seen in a gym today.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you saw that.
He and Ben Simmons.
And Ennis.
Well, I mean, yeah. Which Ennis? James Ennis? Tyler Ennis?
Cantor.
Oh, Ennis Cantor. You went with the first name.
Yes. Got it. And JR.
JR.
We're at the Lifetime Gym in New York City on Reddit today.
Hey.
Lifetime Gym recently picked as the best gym in America by Esquire magazine.
Interesting.
They don't have any Los Angeles branches. And wow. I'm kind of in the market to join a gym.
Okay. So, all right.
That's not one I'll be joining.
No.
I mean, you know, sure, I'll play pickup basketball. If LeBron needs a fifth on his team, yeah.
He can reach out to you. He knows where to find us.
Right.
We're around.
We're highly available to fly to New York City and play basketball with
LeBron. I mean, you know, he lives in Los Angeles now. I'm very highly available to hang out with him at his house in LA whenever he wants.
Mm-hmm. Anytime he wants.
Anytime. We got some Lakers news.
Yes, we do. Hot off the presses. Some Lakers. We should make a segment called Casey, explain this to me and the ramifications thereof.
Casey, explain this to me
and the ramifications thereof.
Yeah, that's our new music for our segment. Casey, explain this to me and the ramifications thereof.
Yep.
Luol Deng gave us some money back.
Is that what happened?
That's what happened. Okay. So the idea was that Luol Deng was owed, I believe, $36 million over the course of the last 2 years of his contract.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So
if no action was taken, that would just count against the cap.
Correct. Right. Yeah. Okay. So the Lakers waited until September 1st to use the stretch provision on Luol Deng's contract.
Okay.
Okay. So the stretch provision is a thing that says, we will allow you to waive a player and reduce their cap figure against your cap in the year that they are waived.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you take that number of years that are remaining, you multiply by two and add one to it.
Okay.
So if there was 1 year remaining, you spread the hit out over 3 years. If there's 2 years remaining, you spread the hit out over 5 years, three to seven, et cetera, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
So, they waited until September 1st because this was the first day where they could make it so that instead of having both years of his contract waived and stretched, and they're only waiving the last year of his – I mean, I guess they're only stretching the last year of his contract. So they're waiving both years. First year, the whole cap hit is
– Counts.
Counts. So and this
is that
year
like 18-ish?
It's 18.
Okay.
Right? It's I think it's 18-ish.
It's like exactly – yeah.
And then next year, against the cap, it's 1/3 of 18. So it's six, right? And it's going to be spread out over, those 3 years. That's what would happen if Luol Deng did not give back any money in his buyout.
Mm-hmm.
So in his buyout, he gave back $7.5 million, right? So $7.5 million was just a bit above what you would make over 2 years with the veterans minimum as a extremely tenured player in the NBA. I believe the veterans minimum is something like $2.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
So if he, the next 2 years, plays at the veterans minimum for like $2.5 million, he'll make back everything but like $2 million of the money that he gave back. Because he wanted out. He wanted to get out of LA so that he could go somewhere and play because he believes he can still play. We have some evidence to the contrary. but, you know, I mean, far be it from me to tell him not to bet on himself. So he gave that money back. The 7.5 is split between the 2 years.
Okay.
It's not just off the last year.
Okay. So like this year they owe like 14 something.
Correct.
Against the cap.
Yeah. And then the next one, they owe, I think it's, you know, something like 13, 14 against the cap.
Split across 3 years.
So it's like four-ish.
Okay.
So his cap hit went from next year, $18 million to $4
million. So he gave back the money so that he could sign with another team?
Correct.
What would have prevented him from signing with another team if he didn't give the money back?
The Lakers would not release him.
I see.
Right. If he didn't give any money back, the Lakers would not release him and would have tried to trade him.
Okay. Because stretching doesn't automatically... They were only going to stretch... So they were only stretching the second year. Correct. So they would have technically had his rights for the next... They actually do have his rights for the next year.
Yes.
But sort of in an...
And then they put him through waivers, and so they renounce his rights with their team. And then now he's free to sign with any team.
Right.
And there's no offset so that, like, the money that he makes from another team, if he were to find a big contract, he would make that money on top of whatever money the Lakers are paying him this year and next year.
So he is now... Essentially, he's going to make 14 something million this year.
Yes.
Plus whatever if he signs somewhere.
Correct. Yeah.
So like if he signs for veterans minimum,
He's up at like 16 million basically.
I mean, I understand Deng's, whether he's not any good or not. I understand the feeling of, I at least want to be in the clubhouse. Maybe I'm the veteran that like is on the bench but he was
he was that in LA and he didn't like it. He wants to go somewhere he can play, which is why he's going to go to Minnesota and play for Tom Thibodeau, who's got a big thing for Luol Deng.
Uh-huh. And he'll run him into the ground and that'll be it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know what role Luol Deng plays on that team, other than being worse than Taj Gibson at everything.
Well, this is a Jimmy Buss signing, is that right?
Mitch and Jimmy signing.
Okay,
this was the summer of Sam, which is to say the worst summer in Lakers history. I don't know if the summer of Sam was actually that bad.
This is worse than the summer of Sam.
Yeah. I mean, because
all that happened in the summer of Sam was some people were murdered.
Yeah. Just a few.
And this, the entire legacy of a sports franchise was affected
for 3 years. It's real rough.
I mean, yeah. Think about it. 3 years is a long time. Sure. Those people are dead for eternity.
Yeah.
But, you know,
but they were alive for more than 3 years before they got killed.
Right.
I think, I don't know if the summer of Sam was an infant killer.
Son of Sam.
The son of Sam. The summer of the son of Sam. I do not believe
he killed infants.
Okay, all right. Les enfants terribles.
I've not seen the Spike Jonze joint Summer of Sam.
Okay, well, I'll have to check it out.
So I think good for Deng, good for us, obviously.
Good for Deng, good for us. Here's the thing. We got a roster spot left now this year. And I got an idea.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I got an idea. There's only one man who we can sign at the veterans minimum to bring what this team needs.
Describe what this team needs.
Oh, this team needs a little bit of juice, a little bit of, you know, something zesty, a little bit of swag, if you know what I mean.
Oh, no.
This team needs Nick Young.
Wait.
This team needs Swaggy P. It's time to bring back the swag. The Zero is my hero. I'm ready. Let's bring him back.
Is he a free agent right now?
Oh, he's a free agent. Oh, yeah. Oh, he is unsigned. He has had a real rough offseason, and it's time to bring him home.
Let me tell you something I was shocked about Nick Young.
What?
I was watching a video of like highest vertical jumps in NBA history. He is up there.
Yeah.
He's like in the top 10 combine verticals ever, which is shocking to me.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that I've ever seen him use that athleticism like that.
I mean, you know.
Why drive to the basket when you can fall away and shoot a spinning 3-point clank?
It's certainly easier, I'll tell you that much. You get to play for longer. It keeps the wear and tear.
Well, he's got his ring now.
Got his ring. He can come home. All right. He's a Valley kid. He knows what it's like to play for LA.
LeBron probably likes him.
Oh yeah.
So
also, it's 1 year. Who cares?
That's the theme of this year's Lakers season. It's 1 year.
It's 1 year. Who cares?
And that's actually what this Deng thing is great, because it's 14 against the cap. No one cares this year.
Nobody cares.
And then next year, it goes down to 4.
Yeah.
Next year is the year we actually care about what the roster is.
Oh, we super care. We care so much. And the Lakers are projected to have room for a max player.
Ooh.
Up to $38.2 million
of cap space. Your Kawhis, for example.
Your Kawhis, your Clays, your Durants.
Oh, God.
I mean, you know, I've said it on this podcast. I think that Klay Thompson's the choice on a max player for our team.
Even though Dad Michael said, nope.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to happen. He doesn't want to, but like...
There's nothing standing in the way of this happening except that the player doesn't want
to. I don't deal in what he's going to do. I only deal in what I think would be best for the Lakers. And if it's something that can't happen, why not just talk about it? You know, well, it's the summer.
But also, what has the last 3 years of NBA basketball taught us except that literally nothing is out of the question?
Nothing is out of the question. I mean, Kevin Garnett said it. Anything is possible.
There is no. I'm still shocked that LeBron is a Laker.
Yeah, LeBron's a Laker. DeMarcus Cousins is a Warrior. How much have we not talked about that for 2 months?
Yeah.
How crazy is that? People are getting mad because they're loading up NBA 2K, which comes out this weekend, and the people who pre-ordered the anniversary edition get the game 4 days early, and they just look at the lineup for the starting lineup for the Warriors, and just the lowest rated players in 89. Just Draymond out there sucking it up at an 89.
Is he an 89?
I think he's an 89.
You can't rate those intangibles.
I mean, you can rate his defense.
Sure, they should be higher than that, I think.
There's like 10 players in the league rated 90 or above. Okay. And so
I will be purchasing that game because a friend of mine asked me to get it so that he could play.
What are you playing it on?
Well, that's the question. Is crossplay an option, or no, is PS4 being a dick still?
Crossplay is not an option at all for
against any of them.
Any of them.
Okay. Yeah. So I could play them on any of them.
Yeah.
Are you going to get it?
I'm not sure.
Maybe we should start a Rule of Threes league.
Rule of Threes 2K league?
I'll have to find out from my friend which system he's on.
If I was going to get it, I'd probably get it for PS4, because I got a PS4 Pro.
Yeah, so do I. I just spent, right before you got here, I spent 10 minutes trying to figure out how to eject a disc.
Oh, yeah, it's tough. It's the one on the right.
And
yeah.
I kept hitting it, and it would beep 3 times.
And there's nothing in there.
And then Eric was like, are you sure there's a disc in there? And I was like, you know what? Let me handle this. Did some more Googling.
Yeah.
Looking around.
Yeah.
Then I realized there was no disc in there.
Yeah. You want to guess what disc is in my PS4 Pro right now?
This is fun. You can guess which is... let's guess each other's, because Eric is in there right now playing a game.
Ooh, okay.
Is it a sports game?
It is not a game at all.
Ooh.
It's a movie.
It is a movie. Yeah. It is... I'm going to say... wow. So you bought a movie...
Yeah, I buy a lot of movies.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Blu-ray?
A Blu-ray. Yeah, only Blu-rays. I haven't bought a DVD in years.
By the way, the PS4 plays Blu-rays?
Oh, yeah.
Why did I think it didn't?
It doesn't play 4K.
4K, I see.
Okay. Yeah, your Xbox One X will play.
When did you purchase this movie?
I purchased this movie when I was in Vegas for Summer League at a used movie place.
Okay.
It was the last movie I bought to fill out a 4 for 20.
I'm going to guess this movie, which is my favorite comedy screenplay of all time.
Okay.
Galaxy Quest.
Ah. That's a great quest. Great quest and good guess. That is not the case. I'm not going to have you guess anymore. I'm just going to tell you what it is. The movie that I watched on Wednesday night was Final Fantasy The Spirits Within.
Almost a game.
Almost a game. So close.
Okay, this is good. Related to that game.
Yeah.
The game that's in my PS4 Pro right now. Oh,
it's Dragon Quest XI.
No, it is. But it is I'll just say this. It's a mashup of...
Oh, is it?
Company and another company's properties.
Oh.
A company that made Final Fantasy and another prominent media entertainment company in the world.
Wait, is he playing a Kingdom Hearts game?
He is.
How is he playing a Kingdom Hearts game?
Because they released Kingdom Hearts 2.5 Remix, which has Kingdom Hearts.
Yes, they did.
Kingdom Hearts 1.5, Kingdom Hearts 2, and then Kingdom Hearts 3 is coming out soon. Eric's a big Disney person, and I have tried to play Kingdom Hearts. I will finish it at some point, but it's very slow,
it's slow.
JRPG going.
Yeah, and I mean, it's an action JRPG, and it's still pretty slow.
Yes. I played Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
But even playing this, I was reminded of the thing of like, you walk around and then like 6 feet later, like you get accosted.
Yep.
And you get to a point where you're like, I'm just going to run.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So
we got to...
I think we have some like maybe one of the biggest trades of the decade, I would say.
It's going nuts in here. Also, there is a part to this trade that was a little surprising to me.
Ooh. So let's describe this trade in our segment called KC, explain the latest trade to me and the ramifications of this very erudite little esoteric detail on the side.
Okay, so the Rockets traded Ryan Anderson for Marquess Chriss is the big meat of the trade.
I love Marquess Chriss Steakhouse.
It's so good. all I'd want to do is go and order the steak tartare.
Seems like a waste of a steakhouse's abilities.
No. It's perfect. You get the best steak, and then you don't cook it. Don't use the cook stuff.
You guys, don't touch it.
Do not touch
it. You know what I love about the steakhouse? Your supply chain.
Yes, yeah. That's all I'm looking for. you guys keep them nice and iced. That's what I'm looking for in my steak tartare.
But your grill?
No.
Horrible.
Get out of here. Awful. Marquess Chriss, order the steak tartare. Ruth's Chriss, order the real steak. That's the key. The thing that was surprising to me was that the Rockets traded away their second round draft pick, D'Anthony Melton.
Ooh,
From 2018.
Wow.
Yeah, he played summer league for them, and then they traded his ass. They traded his ass.
Damn.
Yeah. So now he's a Sun. They also got Brandon Knight. Yeah, forgot about that. They traded
B-R-A-N-D-I-N-O-N.
Brandon Knight.
Who's B-R-A-N-D-I-N Knight?
Brandon?
Yeah.
Cooks? Brandon? No.
Am I thinking of Brevin Knight?
You're thinking of Brevin Knight.
That's his brother?
No, they are not related.
Okay, Brevin Knight has a brother named Brandon, D-I-N, I believe.
Wow. That's weird.
It's one of those naming convention things.
Brandon Knight. You may remember him from being a Piston and then being a Buck and then being a Sun. He was the guy who went to the Suns in the Eric Bledsoe trade.
Don't remember this guy at all.
Yeah, he was going to be good, and then he wasn't, and then he wasn't. And the Suns traded that first round draft pick that they got from the Lakers to the Sixers to get Brandon Knight.
Okay.
So we all know how that turned out for all the teams involved.
Very well.
Very well. Badly for the Lakers, badly for the Suns, badly for anybody who wasn't the Sixers, because they've got the rights to the pick next year. They traded some portion of the protection on the picks to Boston. The way that they allow you to trade protection portions is insane.
Yeah.
So I hard to remember that kind of thing.
It's you know, there could be a case made that some of these contract trades and provisions and stuff should be understandable by like an advanced layman fan, as opposed to like there being six people in the world that can understand these things.
I'm a fan of advanced laymans.
Yeah.
They're better than like mediocre lanes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so
somewhere an enthusiast of the sport should be able to be like, yeah,
Here's the thing, it's not that you can't understand it, it's just that they don't do a good job of explaining it.
Yeah.
And like as soon as you look it up, you'd be able to understand it,
right?
It's just confusing to remember.
I guess it's no weirder than if we were like soccer fans and it was like we're renting this person for a year.
Yeah, that's a weird thing about soccer, is there's like transfer fees and then you have to pay the player too. There's like a lot of weird stuff because they're not governed by one specific body.
Feels like you can just like sell a player.
Yeah, you certainly can.
Quick update, Brandon Knight, B-R-A-N-D-I-N, is the brother of Brevin Knight.
Uh-huh.
He is currently the assistant head coach for Rutgers.
Ooh.
He was the Big East Conference co-player of the year in 2001.
Wow.
He played two seasons with the Asheville Altitude of the NBDL. He signed with the Rockets at one point.
Oh.
Don't know why I know who this person is.
That's wild. And I like that you know that.
Yeah. So
this trade.
Well, first I want to say you were at Summer League.
I was at
Summer League. Sure, you have no memory of this second round pick.
No, I do. I mean, because here's the thing. He had to stop playing for USC because of kickback stuff.
Ooh.
So he only played a couple of games for USC. He has a lot of talent. And he went in the second round because he didn't play a ton in college.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought that this pick was a good pick for Houston. Uh-huh. I thought it was a steal. I think I would have liked if he would have gone to the Lakers with the Mo Wagner pick.
Uh-huh.
That being said, he went to Houston, and then they ditched him. And so part of the reason...
Do you remember seeing him play?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. He was good, and I think he will be a good basketball player.
Okay.
I think he's going to be an asset for the Suns. I understand that sometimes you got to attach assets to contracts that are bad.
Right.
But also, the contracts they got back are pretty bad.
Yeah, like...
The Brandon Knight contract is not good because Brandon Knight is bad.
The scale of this trade doesn't feel like a thing of, like, this is going to be a deal breaker if they don't throw in...
I mean, they could have thrown a pick in, but maybe their picks are bad or low. You know, that's tough.
Well, it makes me think, maybe, like, did they see something in Summer League that they were just like, he's not going to fit.
Maybe. Or maybe that was the price of doing business to get rid of a malcontent who didn't want to be on the team anymore.
Maybe they saw you eyeing this kid
in
Summer League.
Yeah. Like, they had their eyes on me. When Daryl Morey and I were talking, he saw it and he was like, we got to get rid of this guy.
Ryan Anderson was a son.
Is a son.
So him and Ariza.
Him, Ariza, Chandler, Booker.
Oh, Aiton. Boy. This is a little cauldron of...
and so now the Suns have no point guard. That's the rub on the Suns.
Okay. Steve Nash still lives in town?
Steve Nash does not live in town. He works for the Warriors.
Right. He just goes and consults with them.
If you're consulting for somebody, don't you work for them?
I saw an interview with him where he said he just goes up like every 6 weeks for like a couple days.
Got it. Well, then, cool. Man, what a gig. What a cushy gig. Just like, I just get to go up to the Bay Area every 6 weeks to talk to Steph Curry about stuff.
Yeah. And then collect a ring at the end of the...
Yeah. I'll take that job.
So that is the big trade for this week.
It's a huge trade. We're extremely excited about it.
Yeah. I'm a huge amount of indifference toward Ryan Anderson.
He's never been good at defense, but those first couple of years when he was a rookie in New Jersey and then when he was in Orlando, he played well. And the time that he spent in Houston has been a solid decline the entire time.
So what does it look like when the Rockets play the Warriors in the playoffs now? Because
exactly the same, because they weren't going to use Ryan Anderson anyways.
Well, they did. They did to terrible effect.
Yeah, because everybody else was injured or broken.
Because now they don't have Anderson. They don't have Ariza.
No Anderson, no Ariza.
They don't have... Wait, they don't have Mbah Mute, do they?
They do not have Mbah Mute.
And somebody else they lost, I thought. So they got Capella back.
They got Capella back.
Mello.
They got Mello. They got James Ennis III.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, their team is not as deep as it was, which is a bummer for them.
Yeah, I mean, because it's weird that I feel like the Rockets window is like started later and is smaller than the Warriors window.
Yeah, because their players are older and aren't as good.
I mean, that's a creaky window. If you look at it logically like that.
Yeah, I mean, their window is not a window that you just leave a pie on the windowsill for a long amount of time, just hoping that the windowsill is going to stay open. No, that window is going to come crashing down and just completely destroy that pie. It'll be a waste of a pie.
I mean, and that pie in 2 years is going to be very expensive.
Oh, so expensive. I mean, it's already expensive. They already signed Chris Paul to a...
But I mean, it's going to be expensive in 2 years when you get to the playoffs and that pie pulls its hamstring. Am I extending this metaphor too far?
No.
Or not
it's,
far enough?
It's a ham pie. It's a ham pie and you've pulled the string on it.
Well, I mean, they got Joey Cheese.
Yeah.
From China.
Okay. And Joey Cheese murdered it at the Asian Games.
Oh, did he?
Oh, yeah. Led China to the gold. See, and that was Jordan Clarkson went over to play with the Philippines. And
that's right.
They got to, I think they got either third or fourth. I can't remember. But there was a Joey Cheese, very, very good in the Asian Games.
Yeah. So if we just have all the other players in the NBA subbed out for Asian players, he would be an MVP.
Hey, I mean, let's get to work.
Guys, like I was saying, crazier things. This is the time you can't say anything can't happen anymore.
I mean, you saw Crazy Rich Asians.
That's right. I haven't seen it yet.
No way.
Well, because I was waiting for Eric to get back from Scotland.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, okay, and I'm going to Chicago tomorrow.
Okay.
So I've been screwing myself over schedule-wise.
Yeah, this whole time. It's going to be in theaters for 2 more months. Yeah. You'll have plenty of time.
Also, you know what?
It's good.
Well, also, I wasn't cast in it, so fuck that movie. I didn't even get a chance to audition. So hopefully the sequels.
Number two. You're going to get in.
My point is, like, I'm very curious to see what kind of team the Rockets put out next year, because it's like, have they gotten better? I don't think they have.
They have not. They have gotten worse.
And I don't think the Warriors have gotten worse.
No, the Warriors have gotten better.
Yeah, if Cousins is healthy in any way, they've gotten significantly better.
If Cousins isn't healthy, they've gotten better because they don't have Nick Young and JaVale McGee on the team anymore. Right. They added Jonas Jerebko, mm-hmm. right? Okay, fine.
Well, and they will add another year of seasoned year of Quinn Cook. And they've got, like, that's the thing about them is they've got young players that are, like, developing who are decent. Who knows if they're going to be amazing?
Yeah, Quinn Cook's not a world-beating prospect, but he's somebody who can be a solid piece, and maybe Patrick McCaw will come back from nearly breaking his entire body in a fall that was awful, and maybe he'll be able to play well in the first half of the season. You know, I don't know. There's good things happening with the Warriors. What else is new?
Okay, question for you.
Yo.
From the East.
Yeah.
Is Jaylen Brown going to be a starter this year, or is he going to come off the bench? Because they have Kyrie, Hayward, Tatum, Horford, and there's one more that I can't remember.
The two guard would be like Marcus Smart.
Smart, maybe.
I mean,
who's considered like the linchpin of their flow in general.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I was going to, you know, I mean, who needs a two guard specifically? I mean, everybody's just wings, right?
Right. I mean, so, you know, Brad doesn't have positions.
If you start Kyrie, Jaylen, Gordon, Tatum, and Horford, that's, I mean, you can do that. That's not a problem. I don't think that Jaylen Brown will have a hard time, like, keeping up with smaller guards, but mm-hmm. I don't know for sure. That's something that I say with no confidence. It just that seems
so. That'll be sort of an interesting storyline for me to look at this year. Is Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum? What in their progress? What happens this year?
Yeah,
because last year's kind of like a free year.
Yeah,
kind of like, we're fucked. Here, roll the ball out. Go have fun, kids.
And their free year was amazing. Worth a lot of money.
Yeah. And it was great. They did great. Mm. But so now it's like, well, the seniors are back in town. The varsity's back.
Yeah.
So like now varsity has to take most of the playing time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe they'll just trade Kyrie and the logjam will go away and we'll get some scary Terry.
Yeah. You never know what with Danny.
It's true.
No one is safe.
Here's the thing, though. At some point, they're going extremely wide. They've just got so many assets and players. Like, they've really got to, like, cut it down. Like, who are they going to trade, like, four players for one player? Like, what player is worth that? Anthony Davis and who else right now?
I mean, they're not...
It's available.
I don't... Oh, that is available because it's not, like...
And I'm not sitting here saying Anthony Davis is super available, but he's more available than anybody
else.
He's
more available than Giannis.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, that is that's also a question over the next 5 years. Is
Giannis says he's going to stay. Well, he says that, right?
Everybody says something.
Not everybody. DeMarcus Cousins made it very clear along the way. Right? That wasn't like, no, I love Sacramento. He was like, no, fuck this place. I'm leaving.
Right.
Speaking of Sacramento, shouts out to our podcast guest. Naomi, who just moved to Sacramento today.
Oh.
Yeah.
What prompted that?
She's going up there. There's some family stuff, some new opportunities for her and her partner, and they're
They'll be closer to Warriors.
Closer to the Warriors, and I'm putting in good thoughts that she can land a job with the Sacramento Kings in production or sideline hosting or, you know, some sort of gig like that. Cause,
well, and also it can't be that hard to get Kings season tickets.
Oh no, I think they'll be able to go to some Kings games, which would be pretty cool.
You know, just get them from
Kangs,
get them from Vladdy.
Yeah. All you got to do is go to wherever the European men are smoking cigarettes, and there you'll find him.
Update me on the W.
The dub. Yo, WNBA playoffs have been absolutely nuts.
Like,
first round of the playoffs.
Playing through injuries, like, oh my, no business.
God. Oh, my God. Okay, so first round of the playoffs, Sparks versus Lynx, which is crazy because that was the finals last year. And are you familiar with the format of the WNBA playoffs?
I believe it's a round robin with a chess game in between at halftime, and then a wipeout style audience member grants a bonus 10 points to whichever team they prefer.
Yeah, that's very true.
Oh, there you go.
And the way they do it is they have all those things that are definitely real and not fake. First two rounds of the playoffs are single elimination games. They have two rounds of play-in games. So they have a basically the there are 12 teams that make it to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
The top four seeds get byes.
Okay.
Then the fifth and sixth seed, 10 teams make it to the playoffs. The fifth and sixth seed get byes. Then the ninth, and tenth teams, the seven plays the 10 and the eight plays the 9. And then the winners of those games play 5 and 6 in single elimination games.
So 5 and 6 gets a single bye.
Single bye. And then those teams go to play a best of three with the top four. And then those teams go on and...
then you're back into like a traditional bracket.
Conference finals, it's a top best of five. And then the finals, it's a best of five.
So where are we in the process right now?
First game of the finals is tomorrow.
Okay, so we just finished conference finals.
Yeah, and the conference finals were absolutely nuts.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so the Phoenix Mercury were playing the Seattle Storm. And the Storm won the first two games. And then the Mercury came back and had some really big comebacks in games 3 and 4. Diana Taurasi went insane.
Hmm.
Like it was crazy. She was just dumping threes all over from everywhere. She would not let them lose. Griner had some amazing putbacks. It was crazy. And then in game 5, okay, so Diana Taurasi is one of like the elder stateswomen of the WNBA right now. However, the longest tenured player in the WNBA is Sue Bird.
Mm-hmm.
She plays for the Seattle Storm. And Sue Bird came in to the fourth quarter of game 5 with 7 minutes left to play, and they were down by 5 or 6. She scored 14 points, and they won by 10.
Oh, gosh.
She took the game over in a way that was absolutely insane.
And she was injured, was she not?
Sue Bird was not injured. She was like maybe a little injured. This is Elena Deladon was the one who was injured from Washington.
Who had like one leg.
Who had one leg, yeah. And she still scored 30 points a game. She's insane. It's out of control. We'll get to the East. And sorry, not the East. They ended up being East-West this time, but they don't actually separate via East-West for the playoffs in the NBA.
Something the NBA could.
NBA could learn from. I mean, partially because there's only 12 teams
in WNBA. But still. I mean, the main reasoning against it for the NBA is like travel things and whatever. Yeah. So like, I assume those same issues are at play here.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's a little less when there's like one game per round.
Right. For those. Yeah.
Or just a smaller amount of games.
By the way, I'd be fine with a smaller amount of games in the NBA too.
Yeah, 100%.
I'd be fine with a series of 5 for every single round.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, what a slog the playoffs are. I mean, like my favorite kind of slog. I mean, a slog that birthed this, you know, wonderful cast.
But like, you know, it used to be the first round was 5 games.
Yeah.
And that was fine.
Yeah, it was totally
fine. And also kind of... I mean, smaller sample size makes the upsets more likely.
Yeah.
So, like, that's when you get Dikembe squeezing that ball.
Nuggets, baby. And that was, like, a shorter season, too, right? It was 99.
It might have been.
Yeah.
You know what? 20-game season, 2-game series. If you tie, you flip a coin.
Okay. I mean, we haven't gotten to the part of the podcast where we get to talk about how football sucks yet. But, but you're basically describing football.
That's true. But that's not why football sucks.
That's one of the many reasons why football sucks.
I actually think that's one of the fun things about football. The fun, weird things about football is that, like, that the schedule is such that, like, not all the teams play all the other teams. So, like, there's literally no answer. Like, all your stats in football are kind of, like, pointless.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Anyway, I mean, we'll make it a regular feature each week of why football sucks.
Why football sucks.
And why I bought some Nike shoes today.
Yeah. What'd you get?
I bought at the Crossroads some Nike red skateboard shoes.
I also bought some Nike shoes recently. Neither of us bought Nike shoes in a way that helps Nike.
Oh, no, no. I'm going to, but I'm going to a wedding tomorrow that where they specifically asked to us to dress colorfully.
Uh-huh.
So I bought solid red Nikes.
Fair enough.
Now, I went to Glendale Galleria.
Yeah.
And they have Nike Zoom Air Pegasus.
Yeah.
All red with a black swoosh, which I was like, this would be great, very political.
It's like 150, right?
130. So yeah. That's a little much for me to purchase just for a wedding.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
I will be buying
some. Here's the thing though, you buy it for the wedding and then you wear it every day for the rest of the year.
I'm going to buy some Nikes this week when I get home, but not that. I'm probably going to buy some Pride Nikes.
Yeah, get it. I bought somebody some Pride because Nike owns Converse. Some Pride Converse high tops, and they went over very well, and they're cool looking shoes. So
I have to say, I've seen the Pride shoes for Nike, Under Armour, and Converse, and Adidas.
Yeah,
and they almost all look cool.
Yeah,
like I don't know why, but you know, I can say even separate from my appreciation of dick sucking. which is weird because the Nike ones are just a dude sucking a dick.
Yeah,
on front of the shoe.
Yeah, we you know, there's like,
and then another guy going like thumbs up, Pride.
Yeah, the thumbs up is the best part.
Everyone else uses the rainbow colors, but Nike just goes straight for the graphic depiction.
I mean, it's not incredibly inclusive of the wide variety of
the spectrum,
homosexuals,
the 1 to 6 bisexuals,
and, there's like a lot of different types of people. And,
right.
I don't know if just dick sucking is the best way to represent that.
It harkens back to the controversial Nike ad campaign. That was like
just blew it.
That's a weird thing because what was weird about that was it was past tense.
Yes, yeah.
As opposed to the current imperative tone that they use.
Yeah,
I know the ad campaign that was like guys dunking on each other. Do you remember this?
Yes, yeah.
Close ups of guys dunking on each other and like guys' balls in someone else's face.
Yeah. Nothing makes me want to buy a pair of Nikes more than just a couple of sweaty ones landing right on my forehead after I've been dunked on.
Yeah. I want to hear more about the WNBA in a second, but I just want to point out when you brought up Jordan Clarkson before.
Yeah.
It reminded me that this week I had watched a random, I forget who puts this out, a video about like, it's illegal to score on your own goal. Did you watch this video?
No.
It was a history of I think an Israeli league, pro league game, where because of the nuances of European style competition where you play like head to head, but you use like a cumulative score between the two games. One team had to win by 10 points over the other.
And so they scored in their own basket so they could try to score a three?
No, they wanted to, one team, they were going to lose, but they were like, we're going to lose by one. Great. We can lose by one and we'll still advance.
Yeah.
The other team wanted to tie it to go into overtime to get a chance to get that 10-point gap.
Yeah.
So they started fouling them to like stay tied or something. Like one team was basically trying to get like the other team to score a point and they kept missing free throws on purpose.
Yeah.
And then they tried to like put a basket into their own goal and it was disallowed.
Yeah.
But when in the like video of like players intentionally missing free throws, one of them was like, that player looks really familiar to me. None other than Jordan Farmar.
Jordan Farmar. Yeah. Because
Maccabees, one of the teams. Yeah. So, he was one of the people intentionally missing a free throw.
Hey, there you go. I mean, follows coach's orders pretty well.
Yeah. So that it was a ploy that was not successful. It was disallowed.
Bummer. Real bummer.
So we're about to start finals for WNBA.
Yes, and the Washington Atlanta series that preceded Washington's advancement to the finals was also very nuts. Uh-huh. We had five games as well. There were two game fives in one day. It was quite a day.
So this is the Washington.
These are the Washington Mystics.
Okay,
And they are very good because they have probably the best player in the WNBA right now, Elena Deladon.
Has she had time to recover?
Recover from her horrific knee injury she suffered? Oh, you mean the one day that it took for her to get back to the court and score 30 more points?
Well, I didn't see it. I assume she Willis Reed-ed it.
It was, she looked pretty good out there.
Okay.
It was wild. Hand to God, I don't know how she did this. I don't know how she's played. I don't know how she's playing. This is, it's insane. I can't, wait to read more about, the behind the scenes with once, they figure out how to write about it. But she's, the best player in the league right now. So it's time to, let her cook and see what she can do. Mm-hmm. The Storm were the best team in the regular season. So the first two games are in Seattle. Mm. The next two games are in the Washington, D.C. area. I believe they're in Virginia. I think they play at George Washington, but I don't know exactly where that is. So, it's going to be good. First game's tomorrow. I'm really excited to watch the first game of the finals.
So LA was in the playoffs at one point.
Yes, they lost. So one of the things that is a bummer, they lost to the Mystics. Uh-huh. Is that travel is kind of a sticking point with WNBA.
Well, yeah.
They don't have money to take their players on private jets.
Right.
So the players fly coach.
And there was a game recently where the layover or the delay was so long.
The delay was so long for Las Vegas Aces game that they didn't play. They were just like, we can't play. We just can't do it. So they canceled and forfeited the game. The Sparks won their first round playoff game at home against the Lynx. Then they went to play the Mystics, which is, 3,000-mile flight.
Mm.
They lost by 30 points.
Yeesh.
Yeah, it was rough. They didn't have their legs underneath them.
Right.
They had to play 2 days later. It was not good.
I saw something about salaries and stuff for the WNBA, because obviously they don't make nearly as much. But I saw a good point made by somebody, I don't know who, one of the players. She was like, I understand that we don't make as much as the men, but we don't make the same percentage of basketball revenue that the men make, which I think is a fair point.
It is a fair point.
I think you should make the same percentage, even if that percentage means you make $90,000 a year or whatever they make.
Yeah. And people will come back and say the economy is of scale, right? They need that 80% to pay for, renting the facilities and paying the grounds people. But here's the thing. They can find a way to make it work. I think that they need to at least give them somewhere close to the revenue that the men make.
Well, also, is it a separate corporation or is it like a
branch?
I have a feeling.
I don't know exactly. I think they're closely related,
yes,
but I don't believe they're the same corporation.
I bet that there are enough, the NBA has money.
Yeah.
So if in the long, in the 50-year, 100,000-mile up view of this thing, I think you should throw some money towards the WNBA, because if it fails, it's extremely sad.
That's really bad, and it's bad for basketball. And I think
it's bad for basketball, and I think you can make a case that the NBA itself can benefit from having a strong WNBA next to it.
Yeah.
In terms of its own fan base.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you want the NBA fan base to be 50% bros and 50% Sloan Conference fuck faces.
Yeah. No, you want there to be all sorts of people.
You don't want it to just be you and me, basically.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think they should make something close percentage wise.
Yes, I agree. And, there are the reason that these women go overseas is because they,
well, that's the thing, yeah,
they get paid way more money to play overseas than they do for the WNBA. The WNBA is like the league that gets you visibility, but you get millions of dollars to play in Russia. So these women play basketball year round. It hurts their bodies. It's not good for their careers. You know, I think that if we're trying to cultivate talent and make sure that the WNBA is the best league in the world, that they need to pay more.
And also what's I think one of the competitive advantages of the NBA as a as an entity is that it's right now more progressive than anything else. Like in terms of I don't mean anything else. I mean it's not more progressive than like
I know what you mean.
You know, that there is an there is an increasingly large social element to the NBA that makes this kind of thing important.
Because of the players.
Because of the players. And because of the leagues.
There's a lot of people in the league who, you know, are feel certain ways about social issues and whatnot. And they're vocal about it. I feel like it's a league where people are vocal in a liberal way instead of vocal in a conservative way.
And that the league has, at the minimum, not impeded them from expressing those views. So, and I think that is to the benefit of the NBA.
I think so too.
Like, for example, this is tangential to, again, a reason why football sucks, but like the idea that you're going to boycott Nike's things because of Kaepernick is like, the idea that you're only helping the Nike brand by doing that, because Nike just seems cooler and younger and progressive, which is exactly what Nike wants to do. Yep. Nike wants to seem cool. I think you could argue actually that Nike is kind of like a staid brand for 20-year-olds and up, at where if you were like a 13-year-old, you might be like, I like Under Armour. Like Nike's fucking lame. It's for like
Under Armour's got the rock.
Like Nike's for old people.
Yeah.
And so like helping Nike seem more cutting edge politically is not what you want if you don't want to encourage this kind of like, you know, like they're playing right into it, right? So and that is the same kind of energy that I think the NBA has. Yeah. So I think by helping the WNBA, they can help themselves that way.
Yeah.
So from a purely cynical dollars point of view, I think you can make that case.
Yeah. Yeah.
Aside from it just being like a good thing to do.
Yeah. So I'm excited for the finals, and I'm hoping for a 5-game series.
It'll
be great.
I have not watched any WNBA, but I'm going to watch this series. I'm going to put it on my YouTube TV.
Oh,
like one of those cool millennials that we are.
I believe the first game tomorrow is on ESPN News.
Oh boy. Well, you know what?
Game on on Sunday is on the ABC though.
Oh, so cool.
That's broadcast TV, baby.
Excellent. We have anything else NBA to catch up on?
No. And just, you know, the only thing that was left on the docket was I hate football. And I don't even want to talk about that anymore.
I mean, what is there to say about football?
Ugh, gross.
You know what? You know what I think is fun about football? Is I think the video games that you can play related to football can be fun.
Oh, Madden sucks. I have strong Madden opinions. They killed NFL 2K to make Madden live.
I guess I'm talking about like NFL Street.
Oh, NFL Street though? NFL Blitz? We're talking about Blitz. Arcade Blitz?
I'm talking about Robo Ball or whatever that was.
Yeah, 100%. Mutant League Football?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Tecmo. For the Sega Genesis? Oh, Tecmo? Let's do it.
People in Southern California area, like in 2 months, there's like a Tecmo tournament.
No way.
In Burbank.
Oh, okay. I mean, my brother might be the guy who if it's in Burbank. Who
and wins.
No, he doesn't play Tecmo Ball, but he does commentary at a arcade in Burbank.
Oh.
Called Game Realms.
That is where it is.
Well, shit, yeah. I mean, he does commentary.
I think that is where I saw it. Yeah. Football sucks. Can you guys write to us? First of all, do a couple things for us. Go to iTunes and leave us a review.
Yeah.
Second, everybody write in and tell us what system you're playing NBA 2K. Will it be 18 or 19?
It is 19.
2K19.
Yeah.
Boy, we can't wait till it's just 2K20.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to buy it and I need to know which system. Because then you guys can send in your PS4. Usernames.
Do PS4.
I probably will do PS4.
I don't have an Xbox One anymore. So it's either Switch or PS4. And I don't want to play it on the Switch.
No. No, I will get, I've been thinking about getting Skyrim on the Switch.
Go for it.
But
I don't like those games.
And we'll be back.
Take that, week. Elder Scrolls.
Oh yeah, take that, you $1 billion phenomenon.
I like Fallout though.
Who doesn't? All right, Casey, we'll see you next week.
Sounds great.